God split the shores? Where was defeat when the Lord took a breath? When he stood in power by the grave that he left? Nowhere,
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 nowhere is the fear when my King resurrects. Nowhere,
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 nowhere was the doubt when my King conquered death. Stronghold of sin by the grace he possessed. Nowhere,
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 nowhere is the fear when my King resurrects. Nowhere,
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 nowhere was the doubt when my King conquered death.
And I am here to ask you a very important question. Do you have a favorite aunt? Because we did. I have a lot of aunts and I love them equally, but I had a very fun aunt. It was my Aunt Paula. If there was fun to be had, she was directly in the middle of it. And if there was no fun to be had, she was very busy trying to facilitate it. So she was really cool. But that's not the reason why I would love to hang out with her. I love to hang out with my Aunt Paula because never in all of my childhood years did my Aunt Paula ever talk to me or treat me like a kid. When I was with my Aunt Paula, I was in the big girl club. And I wasn't one of the big kids, so it was my favorite. If she had friends over, she always had a, and they were sitting around talking, she always had a chair there for me so I could be in the middle of it. And if there was a car to be moved, she'd throw me the keys. And it's really cool if you don't have a driver's license. And if there was a baby to be changed, she'd just hand the baby over. And no matter what the task was, she always had faith that I would be competent at whatever it was that was on task. And even better than that, I always felt like I was her partner. And it was just really cool, especially when she let me be her partner in crime. So it was just awesome being around my Aunt Paula. And I really think that this is how God is with us. When we decide we want to be a Jesus follower, it is not a sedentary activity. Following Jesus is an active role, and it means to serve just like he served. And he presents us with all of these opportunities to serve, and for some crazy reason, he has faith in us that we're going to be competent at whatever task comes along our way. And sometimes when you're 11, and you get handed the baby, and you're changing a diaper for the first time, it goes on a little wonky, and my poor cousin, but it's okay. It's okay. One thing my Aunt Paula never did was come behind me and criticize my work. She kept faith in me, even if what I was doing wasn't perfect, and I think that is also how God is with us, and he allows us to be his partner in his work, even in our imperfection. So here at Western Hills, we are looking for people right now to join our welcome team. And if you are an extrovert, we have a job for you. If you are an introvert, we have a different job for you. If you are into construction or project managing or design, we have jobs for you too. We have some really exciting things on the horizon for our welcome team. So if you decide to join us, we are going to have faith in you that you are going to be competent, even if you're not perfect. And we want to partner alongside with you. So if you're interested in this journey, there's a QR code up here, or you can find Suzanne or Emily Davis, or you can come to me, and I'll help you find Suzanne or Emily Davis. And for the record, the Big Kid Club is awesome, and we would love to have you join us.
Good morning. My name is Dale, and if you are wondering where this accent is from, I've been told to tell you all it's from West Texas. Because apparently nobody knows what a West Texas accent sounds like. So there you go. Well, one of the things that always appalls my American friends when they learn this about me is how bad I am at finding my way around, even in the area I live. For those who don't know, I've lived in Topeka for 4 years now. We live on Southwest Tutbury Town Road, a more British-sounding road you cannot find in Kansas. I know, I looked. And that's just off 29th Street. And as a foreigner, I find the American way of giving directions to be very perplexing and confusing. Here's what an American would say to direct you from where you are right now to my house, and it'll probably make complete sense to you. As you leave the church car park, go east on 29th for about 2 miles, then turn north onto Kings Row, then in one block turn west onto Southwest 28th Street. At the corner, head north up Southwest Tutbury Town Road. Our house is the second on the west side of the road from the corner. We all good? That's like totally normal, right? Not for me. You will never hear those words out of my mouth again. I am much more likely to say this. Turn right onto 29th when you leave the church car park from the children's ministry side of the building. Drive straight across two sets of roundabouts, traffic circles, staying on 29th Street. When you pass the Jayhawk Pharmacy on your left, look out for Southwest Kingsrow Road as the next road on the left. Turn left off 29th onto Kingsrow, then take your second left onto Southwest 28th Street. Take the next right onto Southwest Tutbury Town Road. Our house is number 2747. Can you see the difference there? Americans, the way you give directions is very precise, but there's one fatal flaw. I don't carry a compass in my pocket. And so it makes no sense to me which way you are saying I should go to get there. Now, in addition to not understanding the compass directions, I am frankly just lazy. I have a sat-nav. I love my sat-nav. Why would I bother remembering where anything is if I have an address to put into my sat-nav and it can tell me how to get there? Now, as a result of this, if it's not on Wanamaker Road, I don't know where it is in Topeka. I'm also old enough not to have always had a sat-nav. That's why I got married so young. My wife is excellent at remembering where things are, and if she doesn't know where they are, she's really good at reading a map. Do you remember those old book maps you would buy at the service stations? So she's really good at reading that. The problem is, she's terrible at giving directions. And this would cause a lot of trouble early on in our marriage. She would say things like, turn right. When she didn't mean turn right, she meant bear right. Or she would tell me to take the next left just before a left turn. And then when I slam on brakes to turn left, she'll say, no, I said the next left, not this left. So, needless to say, we are very glad we have a sat-nav. It has literally saved our marriage. The problem with sat-navs is they don't work very well when you go off the beaten track. Or if you're hiking or you're out of town on some farm roads. Have you ever tried to use a sat-nav when you're exploring a path out in a forest somewhere in the wild? They're terrible. They're useless. So out on a path somewhere, I am probably going to get lost. Now, I'm going to rely on someone like Nick Dow from my Connect group, who probably has a compass in his pocket at all times. Someone like Nick or Jamie Hancock, another friend of mine, it doesn't matter if you get lost with them, because pretty soon they'll hunt a couple of animals, they'll cook them over a fire that they've lit with two sticks, and then they'll season them with vegetables and herbs from the bushes nearby and build you a warm shelter to sleep in until someone finds you, right? Unfortunately, our lives don't come with sat-navs. Life is more like off-road hiking in the bush. There are lots of different paths that we can follow. Some of them peter out. Some of them lead us to a cliff. And some of them lead to water and shelter. And when it comes to life, all of us get lost in many different ways. How do we get lost? Well, the first way we get lost, according to the Bible, in Isaiah 53, is this. It says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. See, we choose our own way. All of us, before we met Jesus, spent our lives choosing our own paths, our own way. And of course, we try our best to choose a way that seems good to us. But without God to lead and guide us in those choices, we are doomed to failure. That's because we are short-sighted. We take the easy road. We take shortcuts our choices are very often selfish choices. And sometimes we even knowingly make choices that we know are going to harm us because of the short-term convenience or pleasure that they give us. The Bible puts it this way: wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Matthew 7, verse 13. Every road that we choose, or every path that we take on our own without the Lord's guidance, eventually leads to where? Destruction. Our choices outside of Jesus ultimately lead us to becoming hopelessly lost and eventually to death. There is good news, however. Jesus doesn't simply leave us to wander hopelessly on our own paths. The parable of the lost sheep tells us this in Luke 15. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." So Jesus actively pursues every lost person and rescues them and brings them into his fold. But how many of you know today that we as Jesus' disciples get lost too? We walk along the paths of our lives, wherever these lead. We pray, we ask God to help us make choices, but sometimes we take a wrong turn and get lost too. We face choices we don't know how to make. We make choices that we regret, and we end up by the wilderness instead of by those still waters that Suzanne was talking about in her sermon last week. But there's good news for us too. Our verse today is Psalm 23, verse 3, and it says this: "He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, when we look at Psalm 23 itself, we can see there are a number of different paths mentioned. In verse 2, last week's verse, there is the path beside still waters. In verse 3, today's verse, there are the paths of righteousness. And in verse 4, next week's verse, there's the path through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I believe it's no coincidence that the paths of righteousness are in between the paths beside still waters and the paths through the valley of the shadow of death. And that is because the paths of righteousness can lead you beside still waters, but they can also lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about that for a second. The paths of righteousness can lead you beside still waters, and they can lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. This is so transformational and so important that we understand. You see, somehow we in the church have embraced the idea that if we do everything right, if we have no sin in our lives, we choose to follow Jesus, everything will go right in our lives. Only good things happen to good people, right? No. And if bad things are happening to you, then if you can just eliminate the sin in your life, everything will be good again. This is simply not true. It's not what the Bible teaches, and it's not what anyone who's lived life learns that life teaches. The Bible shows clearly that bad things happen to good people, Christ followers even. And it shows also that in this world, the wicked can prosper. And if you believe and understand what the Bible teaches, then you know that Psalm 23 has got it right. Because the paths of righteousness sometimes lead us beside still waters, but they can also lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. So how do we find the paths of righteousness in our lives? In Mark 1 verse 17, we see Jesus calling his disciples, and he says to them, "Come and follow me." In Luke 18, the rich young ruler, who seems to be doing everything right, he's following the law and all the commandments, and he asks Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus calls us to do the same thing. If you want to walk in paths of righteousness, then you need to follow him. He will lead us beside still waters. He will restore our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to fear evil because he is with us and he comforts us. Wherever you are today, Jesus is calling to you. Come, follow me. If you're walking beside still waters and your life is easy, he says to you, "Come, follow me. My burden is easy and my yoke is light." If you are weary and perhaps you feel like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you've wandered off and you feel far away from him, then you need to know today that like the father of the prodigal son, he is waiting, looking for you to turn back towards him. And when you do, he will run to meet you and enfold you and wrap you in his arms of love. How do we connect to Jesus if we've lost that connection? Well, there are three things that I've found help me connect to Jesus if I'm not connected with him, and to stay connected with him when I walk in my journey on those paths of righteousness. Number one, spend time every day with him. When I first met Karen and we started dating, there was not enough time in the day for me to spend with this woman I was in love with. And she was on a Bible school at the time, and I was her teacher. We had to get special permission to spend time with each other, the kind of time we wanted to spend together. And Karen had come to that Bible school just before. She'd gone to a ladies' Bible group and they said, "What can we pray for you? We know you're going on this Bible school. What do you want to get from it? What can you pray for you?" And she said, "Pray that I find a husband." That was her reason for going to Bible school, leaving England and going to Bible school in South Africa. She wanted to find a husband. And I think that's a great place if you want to find a godly partner to meet them in a Bible school. I mean, because then you're going to have shared values and shared things that you believe in. So they prayed for her, and then she came to South Africa and she went on this Bible school, and we fell in love and we got special permission, and we just wanted to spend time with each other all the time. But I placed restrictions on it. I'm that guy. I said to her, "You have to do your Bible study homework for the day before I will come and visit you." Because Karen was, she would leave everything till 5 minutes before it was due, and then she'd turn it in and it would be great. And I'm like, "No, we got to change that." So I'd make her do all her homework first. And boy, did she finished Jeremiah that week in 5 days. And we spent a lot of time together. It's the same with our relationship with the Lord. We need to carve our time in our day, all day, every day. And it doesn't have to be long blocks of time. You can do it for a few minutes when you wake up first thing in the morning before your alarm goes off, or after your alarm goes off, but before you get up and you push the snooze button. You can do it in the shower. You can do it on the drive to work. You can do it when you're working in the garden. take a few minutes at a time, multiple times in the day, to spend time with him. Number two, spend time in the Word with him. This is important. If you struggle to do this on your own, there are lots of devotionals out there to help you with this. Spending time in the Word helps us refocus our truth lens by allowing Scripture to shape them. And this helps us to see Jesus and the paths of righteousness he's leading us in each and every day when we face those difficult decisions. Thirdly, spend time in the body with him. As a follower of Jesus, you are part of a greater body. And often, when it seems impossible to see the way forward on our own, even though we are spending time with Jesus and spending time in the Word, sometimes it seems like our prayers are hitting the roof, or we are living in solitary confinement, and we just can't see Jesus in the way forward. This is when we need the rest of the body. We need to spend time in Jesus' presence with our fellow believers, because sometimes they can see the Lord working in our lives in ways that we can't see. The people around you that follow Jesus with you can sometimes see what Jesus is doing in your life and the way forward for you when you can't see it. They can support us in prayer and may even be able to help us see the paths of righteousness before us when we can't see them. So spend time in the body with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I know that there are times when I just can't see the paths of righteousness before me. And I know, Father God, that you have put in place the body of Christ around me, the word that you've given us, and that you speak to me when I pray. And I just pray for each and every person here today to know your presence with them in their lives right now, in Jesus' name. And Father God, for people online and people in this room who are not feeling your presence today, I pray that something will happen today to reassure them that you are with them. I pray, Father God, when we get lost, that you would help us find our way back to Jesus. And if we can't, I know that you will come and find us where we are and bring us back. And so I pray for each and every person here today to know your peace, to know your leading, and to know your love, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Stand and sing with us. Thank you. soon. So we've got one more song left, just like last week. It draws us back to what Dale talked about, that even when we find ourselves in dark places, the shadow, or in the good, that we have a God in those places with us who's fighting our battles on our behalf. And so this song is just a testimony to that. And so I just invite you to sing that with us as we leave here today.
Nothing can stand.
joining us for worship. If you are a guest with us this morning, I have a quick instruction for you. So we would love to know that you were here, that you joined us this morning for worship. And in your seats, there are these little blue cards. There are connect cards. And you can just jot your name down, some information, how you heard about us, what your desire to connect is, and then drop that in a connection kiosk on your way out. Or you can take it down to the south lobby, hand it to a volunteer, and maybe get a little gift out of it. So who knows? If you're a regular with us, those cards are also how you can give us prayer requests. You can connect to connect groups, reach out to a pastor, whatever it is. We want to connect with you, so we invite you to do that. And if you're online, there'll be some links in the comments popping up right there, maybe like right now. So with that, I invite you guys to stay standing with me, and we're going to read our blessing, as we always do, going out, just as a reminder of the spirit from which we leave here with. So read this with me. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church. Have a good Sunday.